Welcome to the second Sunday in Advent. I don't know about you, but the time seems to be flying now, and I have no idea how I am going to get done everything that I need to get done. We are T-minus 16 days, and people keep asking me if I've brought all my Christmas presents yet, to which the answer is no. Have you got a problem with that? I have to say, I am not the best at doing Christmas. And perhaps it's because I am not a super organized event planner. Bridget and I were planning the all-age carol service for next week, and I discovered that she has the perfect outfit already picked out, including the earrings. And I was like, well, I was just going to go with clothes. I don't know. So because it's a time of year where I feel particularly inadequate, I protect myself by trying not to care too much. And I end up actually becoming a little bit disillusioned with the whole season, and apathy begins to creep in. Which, I'll be honest, isn't great, actually. It's not great. It means that in a season when God should be at the absolute forefront of my mind, he can actually get a bit lost. I spend so much time resisting the pressure to produce the perfect Christmas that I end up throwing Jesus out with a box of tinsel. And my mind gets so filled with frustration with having to listen to inane Christmas music everywhere I go that actually God gets a bit obscured as well. And I don't think I'm alone in kind of losing it a bit in December. I don't know what your experience is, but to me, a lot of people seem to be rushing around a lot and stressing a lot in different ways, either kind of resisting or perhaps succumbing to the various pressures of the season. Which is why, at this time of year, we need the prophets. We need the prophets. We need to hear those people who come and point us back towards God again, who speak God's truth into our situations and kind of just set us back on track. The prophets who call to wake us up. They shake us up and they tell us that something important is going on and we do need to get ready. Not for the perfect Christmas, but for something far more important. We need people who will bring God back into sharp focus and who will show us again of God's plan. So in both passages that we had read this morning, we have the message from the prophets to get ready, to prepare the way for God to come. This is the wake-up call for people who have lost sight of God in various ways, actually. In the Old Testament reading that we had from Malachi, there's actually a dialogue going on between the people of Israel and God. And it becomes clear that the people have lost their way a bit. They've lost God. They've actually become disillusioned with God. God is not measuring up to their expectations. So the preceding two verses to the passage that we had read in Malachi were the people of Israel asking, "Where is the God of justice? All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them." So the people are looking around at what's going on around them. And all is not as it should be. They see good things happening to bad people and bad things happening to good people. And they say, well, God isn't righteous. God isn't just. Look what's happening. And actually, I think if we look around at the world today and the situations in the world today, we would be very tempted to take that view as well. The world wasn't as it should be. And the people judged God and found God to be wanting. God just didn't measure up to their expectations. And through the prophet, God spoke his reply to the people. And his message was, get ready. God said, my messenger will prepare the way for me and then I will come. But there's a bit of a be careful what you wish for in the tone in this passage. Be careful what you wish for, because do you know what? God is just. God is righteous. Which means that when God comes, there will be justice and there will be judgment. The people had taken it upon themselves to judge God and found him wanting. What will happen when the tables are turned? and it becomes their turn to be judged by God. And this is where we all get a bit uncomfortable, because the idea of judgment is a bit difficult and a bit unpleasant. And I don't like to be judged. I don't imagine you like to be judged. We teach our children that we shouldn't judge other people. In fact, in one of the Advent books that I'm reading, Jane Williams' Advent book, there are some pretty scary paintings of how people have imagined God's judgment to look in the past. Paintings which seem to have been designed to terrify people into some sort of obedience. I don't know if you've ever seen any of these paintings. They're utterly horrifying. But actually, I want to invite us now to think again about judgment and look at how it is described in this passage. So judgment is the coming of the Lord God, who will be like a refiner and purifier. So the judgment acknowledges that there is work to be done. But notice here that it doesn't describe kind of complete destruction and condemnation. It says he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And for those of you who aren't aware, the Levites were the priests of the time, and even their priests had lost their way with God, which is a bit of a problem. But what's interesting is that the process of judgment here is shown to be a process of getting rid of what doesn't belong so that you are left with something which is beautiful and precious. Judgment is getting rid of what doesn't belong so that what you are left with is beautiful and precious. So in this analogy, the object being judged is not destroyed, but rather it is made what it was supposed to be. The dirt and the dross is removed so that the true object can be seen at its best, in all its intended glory. So in this judgment, there is hope. There's hope. Now, for those who insist on clinging on to their dross and dirt, things might get a bit more hairy, and if you read on in Malachi, you can wrestle with that one. But actually, in this message of judgment, there is hope. There is always, in God's message, an invitation. He says later on in Malachi, "Return to me, and I will return to you." It's true, the people have lost their way a bit. They've lost sight of God, but God is still there. God hasn't changed. God is still loving them and longing for them. And he's always inviting them back. And it's this message which is given in its most ultimate and most vivid and most tangible form in the person of Jesus. Time and again, the prophets have spoken God's message to the world, a message which always holds out a hand and says, "Come." And then holds out a hand again and says, "Come back." And then that moment in history comes when the message isn't passed on by a prophet, but instead the prophet prepares the way for the message itself to come into the world. Jesus stepping into the world in the flesh. John the Baptist echoes that message that we've heard from the prophet in Malachi. Prepare the way, get ready, because the Lord is coming. And each Advent and each Christmas, we remind ourselves of God's message as he stepped into the world in the person of Jesus. As the powerful verses from John's Gospel say, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus has come. God's message to us in the flesh, God's invitation and way for us to come to him. And we are reminded that, yes, the world is not as it should be. That good things do indeed happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. But that this isn't the end of the story. God is doing something about it. God is righteous and will judge the world. But that judgment isn't utter destruction and condemnation that we can sometimes see in those terrifying paintings. But the world is, and we are, being saved through Jesus. In the judgment, there is hope. because judgment is getting rid of what doesn't belong so that you are left with something which is beautiful and precious. It is God's rescue and renewal of the world through Jesus, which has begun, but is not yet complete. And we remember back to Jesus' birth, but we also look forward to his coming again in glory and the life of the world to come, as it says in the words of the creed that we say. And so this morning, let's take the opportunity to hear the challenge of the prophets. Let's ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we awake and alert to God as the prophets challenge us to be? Have we got God in sharp focus? Is his story at the front of our minds? Or has the pressure and the busyness of the season obscured things a bit? Has God become a bit of an afterthought while the buying of gifts and cooking amazing feasts has become the priority? Or perhaps we're allowing the situation in the world today to color our view of God. Are we becoming disillusioned with God, frustrated that things are not as they should be, and questioning God's goodness? Is God not measuring up to our expectations? And if we discover in some way that we have lost sight of God a bit, that we have wandered away in some way, we don't need to fear God's judgment and condemnation. Instead, we need to see his invitation to us. I'm still here, says God, still loving you, still longing for you. Return to me, and I will return to you. Amen.